Say everyone turn off their cell phones. Sorry for that interruption. It's good to see you today. We appreciate that you're here. The Psalm 145 and urges us to recognize the graciousness and compassion of our God who satisfies the desires of everything living and especially those who fear Him, who cry unto Him for salvation. He hears, He saves, He preserves, and yet the wicked He will destroy. And so it calls our attention to ourselves as well as to our God, that we be careful not to be among the wicked, but that we also praise Him and understand and know that we pray to a God who hears us, who knows us, who understands us, and who answers our prayers and sustains us in every good way, not only in a physical sense, but and especially in a spiritual sense through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to spend our time this morning talking about the focus of our prayers. As prayer is a spiritual blessing that we have in Jesus Christ, and one that we certainly are thankful to Him to be able to come before Him, to express our hearts, our praises, our thanks, our petitions, intercessions, our pleas for mercy, our calls for strength and protection. To be able to come before the throne of grace and mercy and obtain it in our times of need. Our prayer is an expression of the relationship that we have with God. Jesus said, "Pray, our Father, who art in heaven." So in the model prayer that He begins there in Matthew 6 and verse 9, He immediately calls upon us to recognize that prayer is not for everyone. It's for those who are the children of God. It is a particular blessing that we have because God is our Father in a unique way. Yes, He is the Creator of all, and He supplies the living with food and bread. But He particularly gives time and attention. He hears us when we are His children. You see, this is a reason to be a Christian, to have our prayers heard. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one to be saved from your sins and to obtain the blessing of a Father who listens to you and who answers in the very best way for you, for your needs and your fulfillment, your protection and blessing. Become a Christian today and have that blessing in your life. Today's the day to become a child of God, to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Today is the day to put aside the old man, put on the new man, to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We encourage you to do that at the end of our lesson. Or to correct sin in your life. Now's the time. Now's the acceptable time and day of salvation to repent and pray God's forgiveness. To use an opportunity like this, if there's public sin to address, if you need our prayers, to respond to the gospel call so that our prayers will be unhindered, unfettered, but they will approach the God who is our Father. And so when we ask, we receive from Him. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 11, what child will ask a fish from his father and the father gives him a snake? What son will ask for bread and he give him a stone? He said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Without question, prayer is based upon the relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ, His Son. And without that relationship, therefore, prayers become vain. You see Psalm 34 on the chart, and it's quoted by Peter in 1 Peter 3, a portion of it is. speaks to this very point. It said, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves good days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil. Keep your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cries." Or to their prayers, Peter's context says, "The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." And so, God's ears are attentive to the prayers of the righteous. You see, God says, my house is a house of prayer. God's people compose a prayerful assembly, a prayerful body of people. Isaiah 56 and verse 7, prophetically, speaks of this. It says, verse 7, Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Jesus quoted that in cleansing the defilements within the Jewish temple. But you see, it is in God's house today, in the church, that we as living stones are a holy priesthood who offer up spiritual sacrifices, who have the ability to approach our God because of our high priest who is in heaven, and each of us as priests serving Him and participating in prayer, focusing our attention upon our Father and His care for us. We're urged to be regular in prayer, to be vigilant in prayer. Pray without ceasing, Paul wrote, and continue diligently or vigilantly or earnestly in prayer, Colossians 4, verse 2. Time and again, we don't need to belabor the point that we ought to be praying, but he says the point is that we ought to be vigilant in it, watchful in it. The idea of regularity with earnestness and intensity. And so that's really what the lesson is about this morning, is to help us focus our prayers. Help us to bring the concentrated effort to prayer that God teaches us to have. Of course, we need to remember who the focus of our prayers are. And we mentioned this in Matthew 6 and verse 9. They said, his disciples in another place said, "Lord, teach us to pray." I think it's in Luke 11, I believe. And again, in both places he said, "Say, our Father, who art in heaven." We in our prayers, we are drawing attention to our Heavenly Father, who is our provider and protector. Matthew 26, 25-33, Jesus said, "Don't be anxious what you shall eat, what you shall wear." He said, your Father, your Heavenly Father, he said, "Look at the birds. Your Heavenly Father feeds them. He'll feed you." He said, "Don't worry," verse 31, "what we will eat, what we will drink, what we'll wear." He says, these are the things the Gentiles seek after. This is what defines their life. Seeking after the things of this world, the material things, the mammon. Verse 24. You see. But he says, your Heavenly Father knows you need all these things. Your Father sees and your Father knows, is said in that context. So prayer becomes an expression of our dependency upon, our reliance upon, and our trust in the God who provides and protects and sustains. He's the one who's provided us redemption in His Son, Galatians 4, 4-7. He has provided redemption, salvation from our sins. He has blessed us with the blessing of being called His children. 1 John 3 and verse 1. Look how John writes that. He says, "Beloved, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." Behold the love. He didn't have to call us children. We were His enemies. He could have called us condemned. But He calls us His children in Jesus Christ because of the redemption we have. When we pray, it is this that lays the basis upon which we form our prayers. Is the great love of God, the great provisions of God, the great hand of God that is outstretched and has made everything available to us. Things we need physically and the things without which spiritually we would be forever condemned. This is the one to whom we pray.
You see, we depend on Him, on our Father. Even as children depend upon their fathers, their mothers, their parents, we depend upon our Heavenly Father. We pray to Him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You see, there is a humble reverence that is attributed to God when we pray. It is a time of earnestness and reverence to our Father as we focus upon Him. Focusing our prayers on our Father, it's about seeking His favor. He is the one to whom we turn. You see, the Gentiles seek after, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to have? I want this, I want this, I want more. No, that's their focus. But our focus is on the Father and the privilege of seeking His favor in things that that are not definable by this world. Philippians 4, familiar passage, verses 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing." That is, do not have a distracting care. Now, we have cares. We have physical concerns, family concerns, business concerns. We have all kinds of educational concerns. We have all kinds of concerns in our lives. But He says, let none of them distract you and take your focus away from this. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is no wavering, there is no ambiguity, there is no doubt, but that God will surround your heart with His peace as you patiently, persistently pray to Him. Prayerfully refuse to be taken away, to let your focus be diverted to things that usually are beyond our control, or at least our capability of changing. We may alter some things, we may address some things, but you know, He says, don't be distracted by any of it. You have a privilege in prayer that takes your focus off of those things and keeps it on the very one that you should always be seeking after and living for. And Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 is a prophecy of the times in which we live now in Christ, in the kingdom. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Well, that's a context especially about the means of redemption that our Father and our Lord God gives us. And it is because of that redemption in Christ that now we are able to ask and receive. Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Again, Jesus with very, very definite statements. It will happen. You will receive. Will find the door will be open to you. That's the privilege as we seek our Father. He's told us, I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to answer you. Now here's what we need to do. If we're going to focus our prayer on seeking God's favor, we need to ask for the right motives. The problem in James 4 verses 2 and 3, the brethren weren't praying with right motives. They had some internal agenda. They thought somehow or another God was supposed to bless them in spite of that. He said, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet, cannot obtain. You fight in war. You do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. So their motives were all wrong. Their motives were selfish, self-centered, lustful. They were totally misguided. And He said, you don't receive. So if we're going to pray to God, focusing for His favor, this great privilege of prayer, our motives have to be genuine. Our motives have to be godly. Our faith, of course, has to be correct, doesn't it? 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, the boldness we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now watch, He says, we ask according to His will. Now this is the great motive, and this is the great point of faith, is to pray in such a way that ever and always the prayer centers around the will of God. You say, well, if I'm making a petition on my behalf, why does it have to be God's will? Well, because you see, God's will is going to be done. Jesus said, pray, thy will be done. You see, prayer, because it's an expression of our faith in our Heavenly Father, He's in charge. He rules us. He sustains us. He provides for us. We rely upon Him and we trust Him. See, faith is the element of trust that His will is the very best thing for me. Even though at this moment I might not be able with my simple eyes of the flesh to see it, but with eyes of faith, by His grace, I'm allowed to. We need to be able to see with the eyes of faith, beyond the moment, beyond the physical. Even as we have to address the physical, we look beyond it. We look through it, past it, in faith. And we pray to our Father that His will be done. And He hears us and we have our answers. We have our petitions. He answers our prayers as we pray in faith. Of course, we pray right things. We pray about right things. In Matthew 6, in teaching us about prayer, He said, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray that God's program would be accomplished, His purposes would be fulfilled. Pray for your daily provisions. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Pray for pardon. Don't lead us into temptation. Pray for protection against sins, temptations. Deliver us from the evil one. Pray about sins, allurements, and take the ways of escape. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Pray of God's preeminence and praise of thanksgiving and honor. We pray the right things. You see, God's will. You see, we combine God's will and our faith with a sincere heart. And we have our petitions. See, Hebrews 4, verse 16. It says, speaking of our approach to the throne of mercy, He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm sorry, grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We all have times of need in our lives. In the good time, we need. And in the trying times, we need. At every time, we need. And so let us come to God's throne of grace for our Father. And we'll find the grace. We'll find the favor that we need. 1 John 3 and verse 22 explains it this way. He said, whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Our Father gives us answer to our prayers because we ask in faith and because we're obedient children. It's not the rebellious child that He responds to with favor, but He responds to His faithful children according to His will. Now, focus our faith. We have to trust our Father. You see, because we don't always understand all the whys and wherefores. Job didn't understand in the moment of trial why all the things were happening. Our Father does. Our Father did. He always does. And so even in the moment of trial, when it's difficult for us, He says, keep praying. James 1, 5 through 8. If any lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all and does not reproach. And it'll be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. He says, you keep asking. even in the testing of your faith, as patience is produced and your faith is brought to perfection. Keep praying, trusting God. There are many psalms that elaborate the point of our faith and trust to our Father when we pray to Him. Just listen to David in Psalm 40 in verse 1. He said, "I waited patiently for the Lord." I mean, we pray, we want, you know, I know, we want the prayer yesterday. We want it answered yesterday. David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies." Now, he waited patiently on the Lord. David went through many years of trial at being pursued by Saul, the king. David waited patiently. He kept praying patiently. God heard and God answered. And Psalm 34 and many others speak to this basic point that when we pray, it's about the will of God. That we are so devoted to Him as Jesus in the garden, thy will be done. When we focus our prayers, when we give attention, we want to be better in our praying. And who doesn't want to be better? Who doesn't want to be more, give more earnest attention to prayer? To accomplish that prayer, let us give earnest attention to the will of God. Center and focus when we pray upon what God's will is. In a very specific way. I mean, Jesus wanted that suffering to be removed. He was very specific. And yet He said, "Thy will be done," over and over again. That's what drove Him. And He was heard. God heard Him. And while He endured the suffering, God continued to bless Him. See, we have to trust God to hear us and answer. We ought always to pray and not lose heart. Don't lose heart in prayer. That's going to be one of the points about keeping our focus. Is that we ought always to pray and not lose heart. And He told the parable of the importunate widow. That is the persistent widow. She kept on pleading her case before the judge. And the judge rendered his verdict. And He says, "Will not the Father, will not God Himself avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them?" And so Jesus says, "I tell you, He will avenge them speedily." God knows what His children face, and He will avenge every wrong. He will right everything that is amiss. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? In other words, will He find us continuing to pray? Will we continue to be expressing our faith in prayerful obedience to Him? You see, don't become discouraged when you pray. If we're going to focus our prayers by focusing our faith, then we have to focus it on God's will and never be discouraged, because we always know God's will is going to be done. Prayer works. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much in its working. James 5 and verse 16. Prayer is effective. We have to commit ourselves that we will keep praying, that we will pray for one another, even as that verse talks about. I want to spend the rest of the time this morning just asking the question, why is it then that we lose concentration? I mean, these things we've said about prayer, we all agree with. We all know God's our Father. We focus our prayers to Him. He hears us. He answers us. It's an expression of faith, our dependency upon Him. So why is it we lose concentration when we pray? Why do we lose focus? Several answers to that. One is because of sinful distractions. Sin distracts us. And we have to overcome those distractions and not to be drawn away by them. And in this world that is racked with sin. Look at Luke 21, 34. He says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, and drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. Right? Now, his context, he's been talking about the day of judgment against Jerusalem. Here's a principle of judgment and a preparation for judgment that would apply surely to us as well. It says it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Pray that you will be counted worthy. Well, the one who's counted worthy is the one who is not weighted down by carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and drawn away, focus away from faith, focus away from the Father, away from living for God. That's why we stop praying. Sin takes us away. So we need to repent. We need to come back. We need to be watchful in our praying. Sometimes we lose focus in our prayers because we just become too busy with other things. We live in a busy world. But, you know, we choose the level of our busyness. And where God says we need to always be watchful in prayer. Ephesians 6 and 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me. I mean, he says, pray for me, pray for the saints, praying always, being watchful in prayer. Some people just become too busy, they forget to pray. But you see, that's the case, and we're just too busy. We've got to remember to pray. Because you see, when we forget to pray, we've forgotten about our relationship with our Father. We've forgotten about the focus of faith. We've forgotten about our dependency upon our Father in heaven. We've forgotten our need that is from Him in our lives. And that kind of leads us to the next point, and that is sometimes we lose focus in prayer because we become self-reliant instead of remaining humbly dependent on God. Self-reliance instead of humble dependency will distract our focus away from prayer. Look in Luke 18, 9 through 14. You remember the self-righteous Pharisee? You remember what it was when he prayed? It said he prayed with himself. He stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he that humbles himself will be exalted. You see, when I forget to pray, it might be because I've become too self-reliant. I can take care of that. I don't need anybody's help. I can do it. You see, I mean, after all, I fast twice a week. I give tithes. I do this, that, and the other. And we forget God. Okay, good. Good. Mr. Pharisee, you fasted. But what was the purpose of it? What was the motive behind it? You give. But was that an expression of your trust in God and your giving of yourself to God? What's the motive behind the action? If we become so, you know, we need humble dependency upon God to stay focused in our prayers. Because when pride enters my heart, self-righteousness finds a place there, then why am I turning to God? If I am, I'm praying thus with myself instead of praying with humble dependency to the Father. So we have to look at our heart if we're losing focus in our prayers. Where is my dependence? What am I relying upon? Who am I relying upon in my life? Could be we lose focus in our prayers because we just don't really expect God to answer. We just, you know, deep down, we'll pray, but, you know, I'm just not really sure if it'll do any good.
Well, in Mark 11:22, Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." And someone says, "Well, there, see there? I can pray and move that mountain, and it's not going to move an inch. So what does it matter if I pray or not?" Well, you missed the whole point of the passage. The whole point of the passage is have faith in God. If God says, "Move that mountain," if it's my will that that mountain be moved, then you pray about it, and it'll be moved. Remember, pray according to His will. You're going to ask God to do something against His will, something that is contrary to Him. But He says, have faith in God. Expect to be heard according to His will and expect to be answered. Now, the answer, maybe no, but it's an answer that you live with in faith. And you rejoice in because you know that's better for you than the yes. Now, that takes faith. Getting ahead of myself. Paul wanted the thorn in his flesh removed, and the Lord said no. But then he said, I'll take courage in my weakness. I'll more greatly trust and rely on the Lord. We don't expect God to answer us. We're going to lose focus in our prayer. We think if we've already yielded to the idea that it's not going to matter, it's not going to make any difference, then we will have what we've decided, but it won't be God's good pleasure and God's good favor. And we will have lost focus in praying to our Heavenly Father. It could be that we just don't like the answers. And this was the point to learn from 2 Corinthians 12:8-10. It could be that we lose focus because we don't like the answers that are coming along the way. Paul didn't take that tone when the Lord said, "No, my grace is sufficient for you, though. And my strength is made perfect in weakness." And so Paul said, "Therefore, I'll most gladly boast in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He didn't become discontent and say, "You know, I have served Jesus as an apostle for 30 years. And he won't even remove this thorn in the flesh." And start getting discontent. Woe is me. No. But you see, that causes to lose focus if we think that way. Why me? Well, I know. We've all asked that question, haven't we? Why me? Well, why not? Why not? But you see, the Lord is the one from whom we are to have our strength and put our dependency upon and in at all times. And if we become discontented with the answers to our prayers, then we most likely have lost focus and probably aren't praying the way God wants us to. So let's focus our prayers by remembering to whom we speak. That we speak to the one who knows our hearts, Acts 1:24. We're praying to the one who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. That we are praying to Almighty, all holy, all merciful, all just God. And we focus our prayer remembering on who He is. That's going to help us. We're praying to our Father who loves us and wants our prayers to come to Him. We need to remember and focus on what we're saying. What are we saying when we pray? Focus on what we are saying. For this reason, Colossians 1:9, Paul said, "Since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask." Now look at the focus. We ask when we pray that you will be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul had a specific thing he was asking on behalf of the Colossians. He knew what he wanted to say when he prayed. When he prayed for the Colossians or the Philippians or the Thessalonians, he knew what he wanted to say. When we pray, we need to know what we want to say. and who, to whom we're saying it.
Look also in verses 10 and 11, is we focus our prayers by knowing why we're praying. He expresses that in verses 10 and 11. I'm praying for you, Colossians, that you may walk worthy of the Lord and fully please Him and be fruitful and be strengthened. See, there were reasons behind the prayers. We want to focus our prayers more effectively and concentrate the effort more effectively than... Remember who we're talking to. Remember what we want to say. Give attention to what we're saying and why we're saying it. Focus. Focus ourselves. Remember that God hears us and God answers. We already made that point. We pray according to His will. He hears us. So we come in trust. We come in faith. We come in boldness. He said we have confidence in this. We need confidence. We need to, if possible, seek an environment where it's conducive for our prayers. And we can pray anywhere, anytime. And yet, there were times when Jesus went out to a solitary place and prayed. There was a time when Peter went on top of the roof and prayed. You see? To focus prayer, find a place, get an environment, get a setting, a situation that's conducive to your prayers. Without the interruptions. So that you can concentrate praying to the Father of the things that are on your heart and in your life and in the lives of others. And to focus our prayers, we've got to give up the I can do it alone mentality. We simply have to give up that mentality. We have to, 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 7. Peter said be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Okay, here's the humility again. Here's the rather than the self-reliant mentality, there's the I am dependent upon you mentality. There is the I, without you, I am nothing mentality. That's the attitude Jesus prayed with in the garden. Hebrews 5, 7 and 8. Though He was a son, He said He was heard because of His vehement cries, His petitions, His supplications, His tears to the one who could save Him from death. He said, "Your will be done." He was totally divested of it. I can do it alone. He was all in with the humility, trusting and dependency upon the Father's will. Focus our prayers. Remember who we're talking to and what we're saying and why we're saying it. Confident that God hears us and answers us. Seek an environment conducive to pray so you can focus your attention and focus your heart. Come before Him with reverent humility, depending upon Him in all things. We've got to keep focused, brethren, when we pray. Prayer is such a great spiritual blessing. So it's not a casual, half-hearted exercise. We don't casually pray. It's a whole heart that we pray to our Father. And not to recite rehearsed phrases. It's not about rehearsing something. It's about the sentiment of our heart before our God. A child speaking to the Father. With reverence, with honor, with dependency, with trust, with confidence that my Father will listen to me. My Father will answer. My Father will extend His blessings. We'll focus on the Father. If we'll focus upon His favor, and if we will give attention to our faith in Him, then our prayers can be focused. Our prayers can be a great blessing. They will not only be heard, they will be answered. And God's will be done in our lives and in the lives of those that we love and in those who are still the enemies of God, that they will themselves also turn their hearts to God and their lives over to Him in faithful obedience to Him. If you're not a Christian, we pray for you. We want you to become a child of God. God wants you to be saved. We urge you to use this time today, right now, to repent. Confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized to be saved. Or to use this time as a Christian to pray to the Father. To pray together if there's sinful sins that need to be corrected, or if you want to pray together, seeking the encouragement of prayer with each other. If we can help you address sin, if we can help you be saved in the Savior, we urge you to respond to His call right now while we stand and sing.
You at the cross. Christ will meet you there.